What kind of questions and interview questions would you ask, and who would you talk to for the project area that you're interested in? What do you think were the kind of the most interesting or appropriate interview topic that you might do? So, somebody wants to start? Who would you talk to? You.
Sure. Okay. The project we talked about was a one-armed amputee child who wants to be able to use the monkey bars. So, one of the first topics that we talk about would be with his parents, or maybe directly with him. What's he good at doing with one hand? Just to see, you know, get an idea from the capabilities that he already has that we can apply.
And so that would be both an interview idea and kind of an observation idea, too. I'm kind of going together, right?
Yeah.
You kind of see that, I mean, actually it occurs to me that in a lot of situations, interview and observation are kind of like, if you got somebody to work with, you know, you probably want to kind of just do both, right, at the same time. So.
And there was a nice idea in this group over here that it might be useful to observe first to help you figure out what is a good question to ask, especially if it's an activity that you aren't personally familiar with. So they're working on a sailing one. If you didn't sail, it'd be useful to get some understanding from observation first to help.
Right. So what are you? Or you were working on the sailing thing, right? So what specifically were you thinking about observing? Or doing your observation? Who wants to talk?
So the project was recommended by Fernanda. So we were thinking about watching her. We're thinking about watching active sailors. We think about watching sailors who have aged, maybe, and need to compensate in different ways. I'm trying to see how people can sail with their capabilities over time.
So one thing interesting about what you're saying is that, you know, there was, you know, a particular person came here and pitched that project, but you see that actually there's sort of a wide range of ability that are related, and that even though it's nice to save one person, that with a little extra effort, you know, you might save 20 people, right? I mean, you could benefit these, you know, have a solution that could really benefit lots of people, and so your observation, you know, then you kind of spread the pool where you're going to learn more interesting stuff too. Okay, how about somebody from over here? So what did you guys working on?
So we talked about the Azure Hammer redesigns to make them more pleasing for children. We said that we would talk to the kids themselves and ask them what kind of shows are their favorite, or what kind of characters or video games, toys, because those are the things that they like to play with. So if you made the inhaler look somewhat related to that, they would be more inclined to use it. We'd also talk to the parents and the medical specialists, the pediatric respiratory people, because they see patients every day, or they see kids every day, and they know what their kids don't like about their inhalers, like what do they complain about, like, mom, this thing's not working, like, mom, I lost it again, or something like that. And then we would observe how the kids themselves use the inhalers and carry them. So maybe even if you redesign an inhaler, like maybe it won't fit in your pocket, or maybe it won't like fit in your backpack or something like that, which is where the kids use or place their asthma inhalers. We'd observe how they personalize their other belongings. So kids would be able to customize their inhalers, and it would feel like it was their inhaler, not just like, oh, that's the thing I use and I don't really like it.
Right.
And then for prototypes, we would prototype either digitally or physically, different images or physical attachments to the arm.
I like the idea about, you know, thing that we learned from observing, like you're saying, people haven't, they have an adaptation that they're already working with, that, you know, to what extent do people personalize what they're doing? Or sometimes people want to just, like, make it look like everybody else's and not that it's not a special thing. And that's kind of an important thing to learn when you actually see something in the vial.
I also like in that one and over here, it's not just using the inhaler, but the carrying it afterwards, or the sailboat thing, it's like getting it there, getting it back. So it's it really broadens the context beyond just the time that it's being used to getting the setup, or what do you have to do to carry it around, which is a nice, an important consideration.
Yeah. So this actually brings a point about thinking about an idea that I kind of think of it as life cycle, or it's like systemic or something like that. You know, something like an inhaler or a sailboat. I mean, actually, anything that you're talking about, you know, it sort of has a thing. You know, there's a part of its life. Well, how does the person know which one they want, right, when they're shopping for it or looking for it? Like, how does it distinguish, how does it explain what it can do? And then they get it. And then how does it, like, physically fit in, how do they get it home and get it into their life, whatever it is? How do they get that sailboat seat, right? Where does it come from? Who installs it? And then the obvious thing is, okay, then how is it actually used? And then, like, what happens when it breaks? Or what happens when the inhaler runs out? Or, you know, it's like, what is the end of life scenario for this thing, whatever you're doing? And, these are all kind of, like, part of the things that you kind of, you sort of need to get, you know, find, you want to get thinking about, because everything breaks down and has to get replaced and like that. And so if you're looking at alternative solutions, you know, maybe the better one is the one that can be easily recycled or repurposed or fixed. So, did we hear from you guys? So did you mention then? You know, so that would be a thing that a straightforward way to think about how to prototype, right? That is, if it's a mobile app, how you could do that, and using any of the techniques for, you know, the paper prototyping or even Wizard of Oz. I mean, just whatever. That could be fun. What about? Did we hear from you guys?
Another good resource is an occupational therapist who knows about movement and these things. So she can provide a lot of help, because she's probably seen a lot of people with this problem and could provide the different ways and the global problems that still exist.
That's actually a good... So in all these, you know, there are professionals that deal with this, you know... You know, the individual, well, you know, there's a certain time of the day when they're dealing with that, or they're dealing with that, and they go through all these different tests they have to do. It's sort of like, well, you change your point of view. You know, the occupational therapy, you know, sees a dozen different, you know, varieties of that same thing, and there's a rich source of, you know, interview or and even potentially observation, if you know, you can ask Debbie next week. Can I, you know, can we come in and you know, can we you know, she might say, come in and watch. You know, I'm working with three or four people that are doing that. Why don't you come in and watch the session? Right? It's a good resource there. Okay, thank you. So did we hear from you guys?
Yes.
We hear from you. We want to hear from you.
So we talked about designing designing a ticket for the RAF students, for the low vision students. So we talked about interviewing both the teachers to see if the learning goals are for the students, and then also interviewing and observing the students, actually creating the toys and seeing kind of where their pain points are. And we talked about when building prototypes that we could, after we make prototypes, kind of simulate our own low vision, like what it's taking off or not.
Okay, great. Well, if you're the last one, I apologize for keeping you a little over time here, but we want to hear from the... Okay, well, that, actually, this is a good way to close the thing, because I think you mentioned this, that a lot of these things, I think most of them, there's more than one person involved in the situation, right? It's not just the person that has the limitation. You know, it's the person they're interacting with or that's training them or whatever. And so you really need to kind of get those dimensions of the picture, and this one is a great example. And, you know, both interview and observation of the people, and then even if they say, no, I don't want to do anything different, but you might come in with something that would, you know, well, this is just, you know, what if you just had this little pin on your jacket, right, or, you know, whatever, wear this ring, or, you know, well, I could live with that, you know, but so, but you need to kind of try that out, right? If you ask them to imagine something and then say, would you like this thing that you imagine, you know, they might imagine the most nightmare thing, so... Anyway, this the point is the prototype as kind of like a learning tool. You know, you have a prototype you put out there to elicit more knowledge about the thing. So, I like that. Anybody else that we didn't hear from? All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, we should all thank Gail and John. And students, be sure you turn in your evaluation forms, please, up here. And if you have any questions, you can email me. And have a great evening.
quick, you know, just check off. The pink one is for the